Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching, and we're going to skip my introduction right now because we have a lot to cover and not a lot of time. If you're listening live, you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. My guest tonight is Peter Shankman, who I've had on the show the night of Hurricane Sandy. He's back. Peter blames ADHD for most of his success. And, you know, I think I'm going to tag this on to I'm going to edit this and just add on the intro because everybody knows who you are. Everybody does. And I'll tag this on to the end of this. So, Peter Shankman, welcome to our show. We're going to talk tonight about ADD and ADHD. That's our main focus.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. So, first of all, what is ADD and ADHD? What's the difference between them?
So ADD is attention deficit disorder. ADHD, which I have, is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So it's essentially, hey, you're having a good day, and something else gets you really excited. So instead of just switching from thing to thing to thing to thing, you do it with a little bit more enthusiasm.
Okay. And what is some of the manifestations of that for somebody, and when you first start dealing with it?
Well, I mean, it varies. A lot of what people deal with, they discover it as kids or whatever, and a lot of what they're dealing with is the fact that it's something that you might be considered, like when I was growing up, my life was, everyone basically thought I was hyper, couldn't sit still, disrupted the class, right? What it was is that I was having trying to learn in a different way. I was having a hard time learning the way normal people learn. And so that led to my being disruptive, it led to my not being able to focus or pay attention, things like that. And that became difficult. It was it was a problem, and it used to get me in trouble, and it would get me in trouble in school, and then it would get me a lot of notes sent home to the principal, to my parents and the principal. And eventually I had to figure out sort of, it lasted all throughout school, and it wasn't until I got out of school that I was able to figure out, probably like 10 years after I got out of school, that I was able to figure out what the problems were and how I was dealing with them, and how there were better ways to deal with them.
And so when you were in school, did you not realize what it was, or they didn't tell you what it was?
Well, it didn't exist when I was a kid. I went to school in the 70s and 80s, and it was just, hey, he doesn't pay attention in class, he needs to focus harder, And that was difficult because it was tough to all I wanted to do was be like everyone else, and I was having a really hard time fitting in. It was very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Right. I can relate because the same thing for me, and I'm older than you are by a bunch of years. We never heard of such a thing. All we knew was that there was something wrong with you.
Exactly.
So
exactly. And that's tough. When you're a kid, you don't want to hear that.
Right.
Right. You don't want to know that you're different. When you're a kid, if you're different, that's wrong. And so the goal was that you really wanted to be able to. You wanted to do the right thing and you wanted to fit in, but no matter what you tried, it simply didn't work, and it was incredibly frustrating.
So what was like some of the biggest frustrations for you as a child that you wish you had known about something then?
Well, the simple act of, I was trying to do work and do everything the way everyone told me to do it, but in actuality, I needed a different way of work. I needed a different way to think. I needed a different way to act. I needed a different way to learn. And so that was difficult for me because it was very hard to back then it wasn't about learning differently. There was one way to learn. It was the way everyone else learned, and that's what you were expected to do. And so it was different when I realized out of school and I realized what was going on, I was able to sort of create my own life in a way that worked to my advantage. I haven't had it's no coincidence that I haven't had a job, like a real job where I worked for someone else in over 18 years. I don't do well like that. And so I had to figure out better ways to work.
So what are some of those ways?
Well, for me, it's really about understanding myself. So creating rules, right? My rules are that I'm up super early every day. I'm talking like 3:30, quarter to 4. I'm going on a run tomorrow with one of my running buddies, and we're starting at 3:15 a.m. And, you know, the reason being is because if I can get a long run in first thing in the morning, I am much more focused the entire day. So you want to be able to understand the way your brain works and give it what it needs. So, you know, I don't drink. I quit drinking a while back because, for me, it's I don't just have one drink. You know, the same way I can't have one slice of pizza, right?
Right.
I never understood people who can have, you know, order a whole pie, have two slices, and put the rest in the fridge. If I order a whole pie, I'm eating the whole pie.
So you're
right?
A finisher.
So, you know, exactly. But, you know, when you're facing a brand new bottle of tequila, that's not necessarily the best idea.
Mm.
So you really want to understand what makes your brain function, how it works. And you want to be able to act in that regard. So for me, I am very much about understanding who I am, what I do. So, you know, for instance, if I have a speech anywhere in the world, I have a basic contract that says I will speak and you'll pay me. Except in Las Vegas, where it says I don't have to be on the ground from wheels down to wheels up for more than 8 hours, because Vegas is not a good place for me. So, you know, it's knowing yourself. I sleep in my gym clothes, right? So when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to think about it. I get up and I go. It's those kind of things that allow you to live your life the best way possible.
You know, in a million years, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. All I have to do when I wake up in the morning is throw on my sneakers and I'm out the door.
Wow. That's like so simple and brilliant, and I never heard of it, believe it or not.
It's one of those things that makes you think, you know, God, why haven't I been doing this for years?
Right.
Because also, by the time I come back from my run, then my dopamine and all that is already high, so I can focus better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important as well.
So now, have you ever watched the movie Groundhog Day?
Of course.
Not only is it one of my favorite movies, it's kind of my muse. It's one of my the things I think about all the time, the lessons and the opportunities that are in that movie and the possibilities of unlimited time that we don't have. But one of the things, and the reason I'm asking about this, is something that really jumped out at me when you reached out to me about this, is the massive perspective shift that Bill Murray has in this movie when I can't think of her name now, is and he's telling
Annie
her
McDowell. Annie McDowell.
Yes, Annie McDowell. So he's telling, you know, he's shown the entire day to her of how horrible it is, and he said, well, now you know my curse, and you know, what if it's not a curse? What if this were an opportunity?
Right.
And what if this were a gift?
Well, that's,
you know, and
that's the key. That's really the key.
She asked the question.
I like
he never
things.
Thought of it before. And you said is that this is a gift. That you were able to earn this.
I like to look at things in a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to figure out how can I use this to my advantage. And at the end of the day, if you think about it, having a faster brain, right? Having a brain that runs faster than normal is actually a benefit. Because as long as you know how to use it, and as long as you can use it and control it, then you have a tremendous advantage over people who are sort of typical, as it were.
So give me some meat for that.
Well, the basic premise that I can, you know, I had 8 months to write a book. With 2 days left to write it, I boarded a flight to Tokyo. I wrote chapters 1 through 5 on the flight out and chapters 6 through 10 on the flight home. And I came home 31 hours after I left with a book. Normal people can't do that.
Right.
And P.S. is a bestseller. So, you know, you need to understand the way you work, how it works for you, and how you can use it to your advantage.
Yeah, and actually, I had very specifically to ask you, I know you've written several books, actually, right?
Yep.
Which I have one hardcover book and one of them on Audible. So, you know, now for me, I find the discipline of writing very challenging. And now, so you're telling me that the ADHD really is helping you. And I feel like, how do you stay focused? What is there anything specific that you're doing?
I think for me, I have to understand when I'm working, I have to understand how I'm working, I have to understand the best ways I can do it. You know, in some situations, it's really about knowing what works for me and what doesn't,
mm-hmm.
and then applying those things accordingly. So like I said, you know, writing on planes is a great release for me because there's nothing else I can do, right? I can't go for a run. I'm already on the plane. I can't,
right.
You know, so you have all these things. I'm sitting there with nothing but time and a laptop, and that's the best way for me to work. So I make sure to do it that way in such a way that it benefits me.
Now, I would imagine you're probably typically in a business class or a first class situation. Now, what is somebody who is maybe in a little bit more of a cramped situation, what might you recommend for them?
You can still write. You could take a 11-inch MacBook Air. An 11-inch MacBook Air will fit in any plane. So
mm-hmm.
you want to be able to make the situation work the best for you, whatever that situation is. You know, if I have 12 hours layover between flights, well, I can find a lounge. I can find a corner and plug in somewhere and just write. You know, if all you want to do is write or all you want to do is get work done, you don't necessarily need Wi-Fi, right? So as
sure.
long as you have power, you're good.
Okay. So I want to hear about, now you have this new thing called Faster Than Normal.
Correct.
So tell
Faster
us
Than Normal
that.
Is a podcast and a website that essentially attempts to enjoy and sort of enjoy the gifts of having a faster than normal brain and change the conversation about what ADD and ADHD is. So in my perspective, it is a way to explore and by interviews and by blog posts, explore people who, and you know, and learn from the people who are using their fast and normal brains in a positive way. So we've had CEOs, we've had people who work in public industry. You know, we've had them, a public service, on the podcast to explain how they use their ADD to their advantage. Because at the end of the day, that's what you want people to learn about. You want them to learn how they use their ADD to, you know, not as a curse, but really as a gift, and how they are able to manage their fast and normal brains, what tips and tricks and hacks they've learned. So we have upwards of, I think we have about 10 interviews up there now,
mm-hmm.
really, really smart people, intelligent people who are giving great advice, and it's wonderful for parents if their kids have ADD or ADHD. It's wonderful for employees. Our employers, if their employees have it, spouses, things like that. So, I'm thrilled that I was able to start it, and I've gotten emails from people saying, oh, my God, you might have changed my life. Thank you so much. It's just a great feeling to know that I could do something that really is helping people.
And, you know, that's something that's also changed since the last time we spoke on this platform is you have a child. So I'd love to hear about
I have a child.
A very large, fastly growing child who – yeah, because I follow you and everything, so it's always cute.
He's pretty amazing.
Adorable.
He's 3 years old, and my goal is to create a world where whenever she wants to talk to me, my attention is 100% focused on her. I always want to be able to give her everything she wants, everything she's looking at, everything she, you know, I want when I'm with her. I don't want it to be about my phone or about my iPad. I want it to be where I'm focused entirely on her. And so for me, it's very much about talking to her, being present with her, seeing what she wants, helping her get it, and really paying attention, being in the moment, I think is the best way to explain it, with her. And so I've learned a lot about my ADD and my ADHD and how I can do things in such a way that I am able to focus on her and hyper-focus my what's the word I'm looking for when I'm talking to her, when we're talking about whatever, I'm able to be entirely present in the moment with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that I make, that's really, 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 really important to me. So I've spent a lot of time trying to perfect how I do that.
So is that hard for you?
It wasn't easy, but, you know, it completely and utterly worth it. And so
sure.
Some things are as simple as making sure that I take a couple of deep breaths before I walk in the door at the end of the day, you know, so I can get out of work mode and get back into whatever. But, you know, I'm constantly focused on trying to make her aware that she is the most important thing and that nothing else can interrupt when I'm in that moment.
Hmm. And now, you know, you mentioned the phone. I can't help but notice everywhere I go, everybody is buried in their phone. They're walking and phone at the same time. They're texting and walking, and I think everybody is so distracted.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, on the flip side, I mean, look, there's a lot of benefit to that, and it's not to say, you know, we were doing the same thing in the 60s. We were just reading newspapers all the time. Our heads were buried in newspapers and magazines. Now it's just the phone. So I don't believe that we're less of a communicative society, but I do believe that there has to be time to put it away and focus on what's important.
I mean, like walking, like what's in front of you as you're walking in the street
exactly.
I think I'm wondering what is so important in there.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, and a lot of people, unfortunately, get very, very tied into that, and they need to take a step back every once in a while. And look, I mean, I'm just as addicted to my phone as everyone else, but you have to understand when it's important and when there are other things that are much, much more important.
Well, you're also somebody who has probably gets more stuff done in a day than most people get done in a month, as it seems to me.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing great. So tell me about some of the people who are on your platform, this new platform.
Well, I'm interviewing CEOs, I'm interviewing celebrities, I'm interviewing, people in public life, politicians, things like that. It's really people who have some form of attention deficit disorder that they are using to their advantage. They've understood how to make it work, and they're doing the best they can with it. And for me, you know, that really is the type of people I'm looking for. I'm looking at people who are doing what they have and doing the best that they can with it to make it benefit them,
mm-hmm.
and help them and help the world in which they live.
Can you name names?
Sure. The Keith Krack, the CEO of DocuSign.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have we had on the show? We've had Scott Monty, who is was formerly the head of social media at Ford. We had Dr. Ned Halliwell, who is the sort of the godfather of ADD and ADHD research. We've had the chief of staff to the mayor of Boston. I mean, we've had really, really sharp people on this podcast. Next week, or on Wednesday, we have a someone who used to be ridiculously overweight and ADD and addicted to medication, and he found a plant-based diet, so he does that now. We have athletes coming up. We have, so I mean, a lot of really fascinating people, and it's I'm very fortunate that, you know, these people are willing to tell their story and share with us sort of what they've learned and you know, the tips and the hacks that can help people succeed. And really, more importantly, to help people understand this is again, ADHD is a gift, it's not a curse.
Right. And you know, and speaking of, you know, people being who have had issues with overweight, you have undergone quite a transformation in the last year.
Thanks. Yeah, I woke up about 7 or 8 months ago and decided, you know what, something needs to change. And so, again, I quit drinking, and I really started focusing on channeling my, whether I was upset or whether I was dealing with whatever, figuring out ways to channel it to my advantage. So I've actually, I've dropped about 40 pounds and, put on a lot of muscle, and I've gotten a lot faster, and I'm sort of very happy where I am. It's a good place to be. I really, you know, no one can do it for you. You really just have to sort of understand that it's your time when it's your time. And when you're ready to make that change, you will. I think the biggest mistake people can make is to try and force someone to change when they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, the only person at the end of the day who can change is yourself. And so
right.
You're the only one who can – you can't change anyone else. The only person who can change is yourself. So I've really focused hard on making sure that I am the person who I change. And I've just worked really hard on trying to improve myself. And it's been noticeable, and a lot of people have noticed it. And for those who don't notice it, okay, you know, like I said, all I could do is change myself.
Well, you know, it's not like you weren't doing anything. I mean, the thing is, you were doing Ironmans, you're doing running, all the things you were doing, and there's something all of a sudden in all the years I've known you, everything was the same except that you were working like crazy, and not seeing that physical change. And now it's dramatic. Anybody who has seen you in a year to today.
Yep.
And so what is the main difference?
I think the main difference is I finally decided it was time. You know, I wish I could tell you it was something much more whatever than that, but at the end of the day, it was just time. And I think that's how it works.
So, one of the things that happens when we talk really fast is that we actually covered all the questions I had for you.
Hey, you know what? Look, at the end of the day, my goal is I still believe I can help people. I still believe I can help make the world a little bit of a better place. And, that's why I do these podcasts. That's why I'm happy to be interviewed. I like helping people.
So what would be the biggest thing that could happen out of this new mission for you?
I think I just want parents to understand that having a kid with ADD or ADHD is not a curse. It could be very beneficial. If you look at everyone who ever changed the world, whether they built a country or built a business or built an empire, chances are they had ADD, ADHD, or they were just a little different. And so that's the greatest thing in the world.
So, by the way, when you go to a place, you're a New York guy, we are known for our fast-talking, fast-walking approach to life. How do you find it when you go to a place where they can't talk like this?
I focus very hard on drinking water and making sure that I've swallowed and you sort of feel the water. You feel it going down your throat. You try to be present in the moment. I think it's the best way to put it.
Okay. Very good. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Because believe it or not, we have covered everything I can think of.
I think the best advice I can give you, again, the website is fasterthannormal.com.
Okay.
I encourage you to join it. Download the podcast. It's a good group of people that we've interviewed, and we're always looking for new people as well. I'm very open in terms of my ADD, and I'm more than willing to talk about it. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm at Peter Shankman on all of the social networks, and I'm more than willing to chat.
Okay, great. Well, then, Peter, I'm going to thank you so much for this very abbreviated but very informative chat. And I'm very excited about getting you ready for bed early so you could get to your early morning run. I feel like I've done
Andrew,
something.
The pleasure is mine. Anytime. You know that.
Thank you, buddy. Okay,
right,
we'll talk.
Bye.
Okay, good night.
You got it.